This list is a work in progress, simply because we've only discovered a tiny fraction of exoplanets that exist in the galaxy. Each year, new ones are discovered in other star systems that expand our understanding of just what circumstances exoplanets in the universe can exist under. Some very different from Earth, some very similar. To date, no twin of Earth has ever been found, however. But as time marches forward, the search continues, and there seems to be no real reason why a second Earth might not someday be found and rocket to the top of the list as candidate planets in which to search for evidence of biosignatures. Maybe we'll find some, and then Earth will truly no longer be a unique world. Thinking in this area has developed in recent years to include a proposed Earth Similarity Index for exoplanets and even habitable exomoons if we ever find any, based, well, on how similar they are to Earth as far as we can tell. Running from 0 to 1, with Earth being the archetypal 1, it does not guarantee habitability. That is a separate issue. Just physical similarities to Earth, such as potential surface temperature, relative distance from its star, density and size, and so on. So here are 10 of the highest contenders, based on what we currently know, and their place on the ESI scale as potential twins of Earth. Number 10, Kepler-442b, 0.84 ESI. Unlike the other entries on this list, this candidate is one of the very few potentially habitable exoplanets so far discovered that's orbiting a star that is not a red dwarf. There's a reason for that, more on that in a bit. But in this case, the exoplanet is orbiting a very interesting type of star, known as a Type K orange dwarf. These stars are difficult to study for exoplanets, mainly due to glare and observational issues, but they offer perhaps the best conditions in the universe for habitable worlds. They can be active when young, but settle down to be very stable, long-lived stars. Indeed, they outlast the Sun, and in this case will last at least 30 billion years, presenting conditions close to our own star system. The exoplanet is known as Kepler-442b. It's very distant from Earth, over 1,000 light-years. It's a super-Earth, at about 2.3 times the mass of Earth. And while it has more mass, it has a radius of only 1.34 times that of Earth, meaning it's likely to be a rocky terrestrial world. This would be an uncomfortable exoplanet to be standing on, however, because its gravity would be on the order of 30% stronger than Earth. Orange dwarfs are smaller stars than the Sun, so this exoplanet orbits about where Mercury is in the solar system. Interestingly, it's the only entry on the list that sits far enough from its star to not be tidally locked, but it's only just outside of that zone, so it likely rotates very slowly. A day on this exoplanet could last months. There is also some reason to suspect that this world does not have a high axial tilt like Earth, meaning that it would have no real seasons. In some ways, this candidate is among the best on the list, if not the best, in that it's a candidate nominally for superhabitability, which is an exoplanet even better than Earth as far as the conditions for life go. Sadly, the star's distance is a problem for studying it further. No planned telescopes in the future will be able to characterize its atmosphere, though increases in radio telescope technology will allow for SETI signal searches from this very interesting exoplanet. Number 9, ROS-128b, 0.86 ESI. ROS-128b is an exoplanet located about 11 light-years from Earth, orbiting a quiet red dwarf, which is important, more on that in a bit as well. It's thought to have about 35% more mass than Earth, and at the distance it is from its star, it also gets significantly more energy from the star. Due to the conditions of this planet, it could harbor liquid water if it has an atmosphere. The discovery of this exoplanet is unusual, but gives a sense of things to come in the search for exoplanets. Most exoplanets we've discovered, specifically those spotted by the Kepler and TESS missions, are evident because they transit their stars. They pass in front of the star from our perspective. The light dips, and there's the exoplanet. But not all star systems are going to present this viewpoint to us. There are many star systems that may have planets, but just aren't aligned with our line of sight. That's the case with ROS-128b. But there's another way to detect an exoplanet: the gravitational wobble it imparts to its parent star. This method is called radial velocity, and as that measurement is done for more stars, we are likely to see many more exoplanets discovered in the coming years with this method. Interestingly, this entry is thought to have the potential to be very similar to Earth in surface temperature. The host star itself is chemically very similar to the Sun, meaning that the planet should have a similar composition to Earth, at least in some regards. On the other hand, it's on the inner edge of the star's habitable zone, which could be a strike against life if the atmospheric composition isn't Earth-like. Even still, Ross 128b is noteworthy in that it ticks the box on size, possible surface temperature, and the fact that its host star is quiet, meaning it's among the most Earth-like exoplanets we've yet found, albeit based on what little we know. Unfortunately for now, it's not too likely we can answer any further questions about this exoplanet, specifically because it doesn't transit. Transiting is key for telescopes to peer through the atmospheres of exoplanets and characterize them. All is not lost, however. The James Webb is really the first telescope that might be able to characterize Ross 128b's atmosphere by direct imaging. And the coming generation of giant ground-based telescopes will expand that ability. Number 8, GJ1002b.86 ESI. This exoplanet is about 16 light-years away, in the habitable zone of its star. Interestingly, this one seems to be very close to the radius of Earth, about 1.03. It's in a very fast orbit of its star, taking only 10.3 days to complete its year. Little else is known right now, but one interesting aspect is the star itself. It's extremely calm for a red dwarf. Red dwarfs are very active stars when they're young. They tend to flare, and those flares could keep most red dwarf systems sterile in that they bathe their planets with radiation, but also strip their atmospheres. This could take something like 90% of star systems in the galaxy off the table as potential abodes of surface life, but not ice shell moons and planets with subsurface oceans due to the ice layer shielding them. But those are unlikely to be evident, and their biosphere is invisible. But there are two wild cards with red dwarfs. The first is that they can be quiet. This may be because they are older and past their flare stage, which means even currently quiet ones might not be good for exoplanet surface life. But it's also possible that this subclass of red dwarf is quiet across its entire lifetime, which would be good for life. The other possibility comes from recent work that showed that red dwarfs may not flare out into their ecliptic plane where their planets are, but nearer to the poles. If true, that would open up almost all red dwarfs for life and civilizations. This does open up an odd question, however. If the vast majority of stars in the universe are habitable, the red dwarfs, and the second most abundant stars are also habitable, the orange dwarfs, then why is it we orbit the comparatively scarcer G-type dwarf? This is an unknown. Number 7, K2-72E.87 ESI. This confirmed likely rocky exoplanet was found during the Kepler spacecraft's second light mission, where the primary mission was finished and the spacecraft started failing, but NASA was able to figure out a workaround and get more science out of the spacecraft before it finally went silent. This exoplanet is about 217 light years away and is a small super-Earth, just over twice the mass of our world. The host star is yet another red dwarf. The reason most of the entries on this list are red dwarfs isn't because planets don't occur around other types of stars, they very much do. It's just easier to detect transits with this type as dim targets. The red dwarfs are the low-hanging fruit, as it were, but they also make up the vast majority of stars in the universe, so sheer numbers also play a role. Even though this exoplanet orbits a red dwarf, it does it closely. In this case, the exoplanet receives more energy from its host star than Earth does. This is known as insolation, and in this case, it's about 11% greater. This could be bad for habitability in that it starts to work against the possibility of liquid water, but it's very situational due to unknown atmospheric composition. And it's almost certainly tidally locked, meaning it presents only one face to its star. The dynamics of this are still not well understood, meaning that planets like this probably circulate heat to the far side if they have atmospheres, opening up the way for life on the dark side of the world, but not so much on the lit side, with a wild card twilight zone between. Beyond speculation, very little else is known of this world. Number 6, Proxima B.87 ESI. Proxima Centauri b stands out on this list because it's the most likely exoplanet that we will actually get close photographs of at some point in the not too distant future. if we do not actually go there and colonize it. In the far future, we may see more exoplanets directly, but for now, this one is our best shot because it orbits the closest star to the Sun. Proxima Centauri itself is a red dwarf, only about 4.2 light years away. There may be other planets in this system. There are two disputed candidates, in addition to Proxima B. But what's interesting is that if Proxima Centauri has an Oort cloud, or is part of the greater Alpha Centauri Oort cloud, it's close enough that it might be interacting with the Sun's own extensive Oort cloud. Proxima B was also discovered through radial velocity, but the big problem with the star system is that Proxima Centauri is not quiet. It's a flare star that could have stripped these worlds of their atmospheres long ago. The good news is, being so close, we'll probably find out. One way is direct observation, but there is also Breakthrough Starshot, which might send tiny light sail-driven probes to Proxima Centauri, and in decades arrive there and answer many questions about this system. It's a good bet that in a few centuries, we will know more about the Proxima Centauri system than we do any other besides our own solar system. By then, we may even be thinking of going there and making it a second home. Number 5, LP890-9.89 ESI. Located about 105 light years out, is a high proper motion red dwarf star, about 12% the mass of the Sun, known as LP890-9. It's an unusually cool temperature red dwarf that hosts at least two exoplanets. These are recent discoveries from 2022 from the TESS spacecraft, and both are very likely to be rocky terrestrial worlds. But in this case, they are super-Earths, being somewhat larger than our world. One of the planets is not a good candidate. It's not in the habitable zone of the star. But the outer one, known as LP890-9C, is within it, and it's on the list for the James Webb Space Telescope to eventually try to characterize its atmosphere, if it has one. This exoplanet is on the inner edge of the habitable zone, however, and is almost certainly tidally locked. This is very situational because depending on the circumstances of this exoplanet, it could either be Earth-like or a Venus. It could go either way. But the good news here is that JWST should be able to tell the difference. Still, the close nature of the planet to the star may be a count against life due to radiation. Though there are alternate hypotheses out there regarding how microbial life could use ultraviolet radiation as an energy source. The other issue is that being a super-Earth, it could well be above the 2-Earth mass limit usually imposed on life. Go larger and it gets increasingly less plausible that a biosphere could exist on such a large terrestrial world. Still, this one comes in at 0.89 on the scale. Number 4, TRAPPIST-1D, 0.91 ESI. Perhaps the most famous entry on this list is the TRAPPIST-1 system, a multiple planet system orbiting a red dwarf just over 40 light years away. Harboring at least 7 exoplanets, this system hosts 3 potentially habitable worlds with a marginal 4th on the table. Recent evidence from the James Webb Space Telescope, however, have actually begun to start characterizing these worlds in detail, and indeed were among the first targets of the telescope. The innermost member of the system, TRAPPIST-1b, has been found to have no atmosphere at all, with a surface dark in color. It's not a far stretch to say that this world might look something like a darker and larger version of Mercury, perhaps complete with ancient cratering. The second member, TRAPPIST-1c, is much the same, the less certain. It likely has no atmosphere, and if it does, it's probably oxygen-rich, but not from biology. Rather, an open hypothesis about planetary atmospheres orbiting red dwarfs doing this. The next member is where things get interesting. TRAPPIST-1d orbits in the inner edge of the habitable zone of the system. TRAPPIST-1d could well have an atmosphere, though this is, as of yet, unconfirmed. If it proves to have no atmosphere at all, then it shows that even moderately active red dwarfs strip their planets of atmospheres. If it does have one, then it becomes the innermost planet of the system in which to start looking for biosignatures. This planet could go either way. It could turn out to be a Venus-like world, or it could be a tidally locked eyeball world with a zone of habitability at its permanent twilight limbs, maybe extending to its dark side. Several other candidates for Earth-like worlds exist in the system, but for various reasons rank lower. Eventually, though, with the system, the further out you go, you leave the habitable zone and get into members that are likely ice worlds. Number 3, Kepler-1649c, 0.92 ESI. Thought to likely be a rocky planet like Earth, this exoplanet orbits the red dwarf Kepler-1649, with a mass about 1.2 times that of Earth. The planet is likely to be tidally locked, and oddly enough, was the most Earth-like planet discovered by the Kepler spacecraft. But it almost didn't see it at all. The algorithm used to sift through the Kepler data missed this planet, kicking it out as a false positive when it wasn't. This is a growing problem within astronomy in general, but especially SETI. The massive amounts of data collected these days just can't be sifted through by a human. It must be done by a computer program. Because of this, some percentage of interesting signals gets kicked out, sometimes because they might be too interesting. And when new ways of sifting old data come available, formerly automatically discounted signals can be rediscovered. It's an interesting thought that somewhere in the SETI data, there may be a signal of alien origin that was simply never seen by a human. And that's what happened with this exoplanet. Kepler-1649c is interesting because it receives about 75% of the radiation Earth receives from the Sun from its own star. The system itself is interesting both because of the Earth-like planet, which comes in at 0.92, but also in that the system sports a nearly perfect analog of Venus, existing under the same conditions and about the same size. Whether it's a hothouse planet like Venus is unknown, but there is a chance that it is. So instead of an Earth twin, it's a Venus twin. While the host star is probably a flare star, this has never been observed, which means that the planet could have an atmosphere and support liquid water. This planet, however, undergoes oscillations in its orbit, due to the presence of the Venus-like planet. What effect this might have on how Earth-like it really is remains unclear. Number 2, TOI 700D, 0.93 ESI. This star system is just over 100 light years from Earth and sports multiple planets, the outermost known one being TOI 700D, which is basically a super Earth, at about 1.7 times the mass of Earth. This is still within the confines of planets thought to be potentially habitable, which is usually considered to be anything below 2 Earth masses. This is a red dwarf system, like so many on this list, in this case about 40% the mass of the Sun. But here the planet receives a large amount of energy from its star, about 86% of what Earth gets from our Sun. Still, that might make for a relatively cold world, should it have a thick atmosphere. Strangely, it also has a small chance of being the exact opposite, and being a runaway greenhouse effect world like Venus. It all depends on the composition of the atmosphere. This is favored in that the star appears to not be very active, and another feature is that the exoplanet is estimated to get about the same solar wind exposure as Earth, which also greatly favors an atmosphere. All told, this star is the second highest on the scale, coming in at 0.93 in comparison to Earth. Number 1, Tea Garden Star, 0.95 ESI. This star system goes to show that we really know very little about the star systems of the Milky Way. Exoplanet searches will require looking at literally tens of millions of red and orange dwarf star systems, a great many of which are undiscovered. Potentially even in our local neighborhood. This particular star, a red dwarf known as Tea Garden Star, was not known about until 2003, when it was discovered at a distance of only about 12.5 light years from Earth. This is a very tiny star, about 9% the mass of the Sun, and only just large enough to be a star rather than a brown dwarf. Even still, this star system has shot to the top of the Earth Similarity Index, not just for one potential Earth-like world in the habitable zone of the star, but two. Known as Tea Garden Star B and C, the better of the two being B, which orbits in the optimistic habitable zone of this star, something analogous to somewhere between Earth and Venus in our star system. But being a red dwarf, it's much closer in. This planet holds the current record as the most Earth-like planet we've seen, coming in at 0.95 on the scale. Tea Garden C, however, is more analogous to Mars, and while in the habitable zone as well, it's getting towards the outer edge, and thus not as good of a candidate. If it proves to have a thick heat-retaining atmosphere, however, the equation for that world changes to being favored for life as well. But right now, it sits at 0.68 on the scale, which is still good. What really puts this system over the top, however, is that Tea Garden Star is remarkably inactive for a red dwarf. It does almost nothing, even though sometimes red dwarfs can be violent flare stars. It's also possible on the other side of the coin that these worlds might be oceanic worlds with no land. If that's the case, then other than the potential for marine life to arise, ostensibly near volcanic vents on the seafloor, then they might be very different from Earth indeed, despite being so similar on the scale. There's still much debate on what these planets might be like. They are most likely tidally locked to their star, which may lower their chances of having retained atmospheres. But if they did, they should have no problem supporting liquid water on their surfaces, barring any unusual conditions. B in particular, if it has an atmosphere, could have as high of a 60% chance of retaining liquid water. It's also likely that both of these planets are rocky, with estimates on B being only slightly larger than Earth. No doubt this list will evolve and expand in the coming years, and any one of these candidates so far could turn out to be one of the most interesting discoveries in science, because any of them might not only prove to be a second Earth, but might also present biosignatures indicating that there is life there. We will just have to wait and see. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Cotier, currently concerned about the real estate values of Proxima B. In the far future, if you really wanted to, and you lived for thousands of years, and could afford the decades needed to go back and forth, you could live on Earth, but maintain a nice vacation home on Proxima B, that you may only ever get to visit once. While that may make nice financial sense in the short term, or not, in the long haul, the prospects are not good, as Proxima Centauri will eventually move away from us, and your prized interstellar vacation condo will be on the other side of the galaxy before you know it. Not good, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.